Thank you for joining me today. These are thrilling days for us here on God Is because we're talking about God who is power. God is power. And when we started this, I told you we would discover the power of God in the Trinitarian nature of God. What I mean by that is God is one God in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And we saw God's power displayed through his fatherhood, through his sonship, and now we're into the demonstration of God's power through the Holy Spirit, which comes on the disciples as described in Acts chapter 2. What I want to do today is to reread our text, especially so that you understand the broader context of what I will say this week. And then I will remind you of the major points that we've already discussed as we talked our way through really just the first verse. This is what we do on this broadcast every day. We open the Bible, our only source for telling us who God is. We read it, and then I teach it systematically and in an organized manner, going verse by verse, step by step, down through the text. In this case, Acts chapter 2. Therefore, it is always helpful if you have your Bible with you and open before you so you can follow along and see exactly how I am leading you through the passages. However, I know many of you are commuting, perhaps driving, or otherwise distracted as I speak to you. So I just want to encourage you, again, to read the biblical text for yourself later when you have some time. May I suggest, for example, in the evening hours before you go to sleep, or first thing in the morning if you, like me, function best in the morning hours, perhaps even the early morning hours. And keep in mind that you can always listen again via the God Is podcast, available for free from the WEZE website, which is 590amtheword.com. That is 590amtheword.com, and you'll hear that again before the conclusion of this broadcast. I'm reading now from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own tongue speaking of the mighty deeds of God." And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They are full of sweet wine." That's Acts 2, verses 1 through 13. And thus far we have talked about the people involved in these verses, the location where they met together, and the event for which they were gathered. And that event was Pentecost. I told you all about what Pentecost is as we moved back and forth in our Bibles between the Old Testament book of Leviticus, chapter 23, that's Leviticus 23, and various New Testament texts. And when we left off last time, I told you that we see why God chose Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, as the time in which he sent the promised Holy Spirit. God sent the Holy Spirit to believers on his timetable, according to his divine will and plan, not because of anything these first Christians did, not because of anything any person did. In other words, the Spirit moves according to the will of God, not according to our will. And that's important to note because today there is a lot of teaching, preaching, podcasting that presents the Holy Spirit as almost a genie that pops out of a heavenly bottle and says, "Your wish is my command." And certain Christians, if they are genuine Christians at all, will start telling the Holy Spirit what to do. Certain theological persuasions teach that you can name it and claim it, that you can speak something into existence. And they strongly encourage Christians to just tell the Spirit what you want and it will be yours, especially material blessings that will make you prosper. So the Spirit is used as a tool to get what you want. He somehow exists to bless you. I know this is popular. I hear it all the time online, on radio, in video, and other forms of social media. I am aware of many churches that teach this, and I certainly observe it in mission context, working cross-culturally with people, particularly in Asia and Africa. But I simply do not see this in the Bible. The Bible does not teach this, and therefore I do not either. As I read and reread and read again and study and ask questions of the biblical text, and yes, as I pray and ask God for wisdom to know what His Word is actually proclaiming, I have concluded that the name it and claim it, the speak it into existence, and the God wants to prosper you theology is a false theology. It is a false teaching. It is a thoroughly unbiblical idea, and it should be rejected as such by all of us. And yes, us includes those of you listening to me who are not yet Christians. Just because a teaching is popular, just because it makes you feel good or gives you some false sense of hope, a sort of you too can be blessed, read healthy and wealthy if you do what I do, does not make the teaching right. It doesn't make it accurate, and it certainly doesn't make it biblically true. God is misrepresented all the time. There are many, many lies told about God, and a ministry like God Is has to address these lies and false representations, because our purpose here is to understand who God really is as the Bible presents Him to us. So if you disagree with me as you listen, especially if you disagree with me, then test what I am saying against what you read in the Bible. See if what I am saying is indeed in the Bible, and as I often tell you, write to me. Engage me in your disagreement. Don't just tune me out and off. Take what I am teaching and think critically about it for yourself. Pray about it and again, test it. I'll teach with confidence and courage because before I ever come to you, I've done my study. I've prayed and I've been very careful with the biblical text. But that doesn't mean I cannot be questioned or there cannot be disagreement with my conclusions. Nevertheless, I do think the proper response to me is to engage. It's not to ignore me, or worse, to say, well, I disagree, without being able to back up your disagreement from the Bible. And the reason I am saying all of this is because when it comes to the Holy Spirit, who the Spirit is, and what role the Spirit has in the life of the believer in Christ and in churches, usually this is where there is a lot of disagreement today, as there has been for several decades. Certainly my whole life. The disagreement is on who is the Holy Spirit. And even though I am not giving an extensive teaching on the Holy Spirit now, but I am focusing narrowly on the Spirit's power, I'll still touch, shall we say, touchy topics along the way. So I just want you to know I'm aware that I might rub you the wrong way, and some of the other voices around me on radio and definitely online will take offense to what I say. Good. Let's discuss the Spirit and let's make certain we get the Holy Spirit absolutely 100% right. Let's interpret the Bible correctly and accurately. And now let me pray for us as we attempt to do this. Our Father in heaven, indeed, help us to correctly interpret the Bible. Give me wisdom, guidance, discernment, and protection as I handle this precious word of truth. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice. I pray they will also interpret the Scriptures accurately as you intend them. Where there is false teaching alive in your church today, root it out. End it. Cleanse your church of the destructive stain of heresy, teaching and preaching that is contradictory to the right meaning. This seems especially true when it comes to the Holy Spirit. I pray that genuine Christians will never blaspheme the Holy Spirit. guard us from this grave and terrible sin. Amen. I am aware that all of what I just said took time, but I believe it was necessary. So with the time we have remaining, let's get our foot in the door of what I want to highlight next from Acts 2. And it is this, the power of the Spirit in verse 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 2. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. This is most definitely God's power in action. His power charges out of heaven. Notice the text says very clearly, there came from heaven and consumes the people in the upper room. And notice it was sudden. I believe the power of God is reflected in this element of surprise. Even though the disciples knew the Spirit was going to come while they waited in Jerusalem at their Lord's command, still, in the timing of the coming of the Spirit, God shocks them. Furthermore, God's power filled the whole house where they were sitting. That's the way it is with God's might. He commands our full attention with His omnipotence. God's power, when it crashes into our existence, demands all of us. That's certainly the way it will be when, in the future, Jesus returns to the earth. He will return in a commanding, demanding, consuming, filling power. God is power. And we'll continue to discover this about God next time. At the start of a new week of fresh broadcasting, this is the perfect time to invite a friend or two to join you. Maybe you know someone who believes the false teaching that I described earlier. Tell them about God Is. Invite them to tune in or download the podcast. Give them an opportunity to let the Bible challenge their assumptions and beliefs. And then come on back tomorrow and join me for another edition of God Is.